I Hate the News is the weekly news analysis from I Hate Politics podcast, a show about a human activity we love to hate. I am Sunil Dasgupta. The week of March 19th, 2024, the National Association of Realtors settles a lawsuit and throws into question the long-held custom of sellers paying 6% of sales price as commission to brokers. The Maryland House of Delegates considers a new tax proposal that is opposed by the governor and the state Senate leadership. The governor also breaks with his climate allies over building data centers in the state, and much more. Music for this episode comes from Baltimore area jazz musician Seth Kaibel's album, Clarinet Flex and Chill. Kaibel on clarinet, flute, and tenor saxophone. Ellington Carthan on piano and keys. Christy McDonald, electric guitar. Elliot Seppa, double bass. And Joey Antico, drums. You can find their music at sethkaibel.com. The National Association of Realtors, the largest real estate trade association in the country with more than a million members, settled an antitrust lawsuit that calls into question the long-held custom of home sellers paying 6% of the sales price as commission to both the buyer and the seller agent. While home buyers and sellers have long been able to negotiate commission, there has been a strong expectation that the seller who is walking away with money from the sale pay both brokers their commission, and that this commission customarily is believed to be 6% of the sales price. Silver Spring broker Liz Brent explains more.
It is a very, very, very strong custom here that the seller pays the buyer agent. However, the whole idea that there's this generally accepted percent of 6% is not at all the case. Commissions have always been negotiable, always. The question is, what will happen to the buyer agent commission? As part of the settlement, they have or are planning to remove the field in the multiple list service that offers compensation to the buyer agents. So this introduces a lot of question in the marketplace about how those agents will be paid. Options can include writing into the offer a request that the seller pay the buyer agent commission. The buyer could simply pay the commission directly to the agent. The buyer could also write into the offer a seller closing cost credit. And in fact, we have been told that the settlement does allow for a seller to make an offer of a credit to the buyer in the MLS.
Silver Spring broker Liz Brent. March 20th is crossover day in Maryland General Assembly, the day House bills must reach the Senate and Senate bills must reach the House for them to have a shot at passing the other chamber. Exceptions are made, but rare. The big difference between the House and the Senate right now is over taxes and spending. The House leadership, with Majority Leader David Moon at the head, has proposed changing the state's sales taxes, lowering the overall rate from 6 to 5%, but expanding what is taxed to include services such as accounting, legal, real estate, gym memberships, media streaming, and home renovations. As you might imagine, several affected groups, including the Maryland Bar Association, is opposing the move. Many state legislators belong to the Bar Association. The state Senate leadership and Maryland Governor Wes Moore have said no new taxes. Meanwhile, the Senate's plan to cut highway user revenues allocated to the counties and municipalities for maintaining roads and bridges has been rejected by the House Appropriations Committee. So there, a unified government with the governor's office, Senate, and House all in Democratic hands still shows political differences over the most basic of government functions, taxing and spending. We don't know where this will end up, but give us a follow to remain informed. Meanwhile, the governor is faced with another defection from a close and early ally, climate groups. The Maryland League of Conservation Voters, the Sierra Club, and others have opposed a bill proposed by the governor which would make it easy for data centers to operate in the state. Kim Coble of Maryland League of Conservation Voters lays it out.
Recently, Maryland had a proposal for a data center to be built with 168 backup generators. And the Public Service Commission that oversees and regulates the energy production industry said that we're going to treat all of those as one. Historically, the PSC, Public Service Commission, had said each backup generator will treat independently. It's too small for us to regulate. The industry said, you know what, we're not interested in that. That doesn't fit our business model, so we're out. And the Moore administration, who's very committed to economic development and job creation, put a bill in to say backup generators no longer required to get approval from the Public Service Commission. We don't like the bill, but we were going to remain neutral about it if they could make some improvements in it. The one remaining amendment that really matters to us is offsetting the 800,000 pounds of CO2 that comes from the backup generators. We offer three ideas that we think could help. One of them was for the facility to buy renewable energy credits and solar. That was dismissed. We then said, all right, well, how about you guys need to connect 1% of the energy, 1% of the energy used as battery storage. That was rejected. The other idea that we have was to simply get some cash. We had a sliding scale of $1, $2, $3, $4, $5. It generated maybe somewhere between a couple hundred thousand up to 1.2 or 3 million a year. There's been no feedback on that either.
So a million and a little more than $1 million in the scheme of things is really, really small. What do you think the opposition is about?
Other states are not asking them to do anything. And we have a great relationship with Governor Moore and his team and have had lots of conversations around this. But quite honestly, we have a disagreement here.
What is this doing to that relationship? Are you going to hold them accountable politically?
Each year we put out a scorecard on the legislators on how they voted each year.
The Senate committee passed the bill 10 to 1. Even if the General Assembly passes the new law, are there other veto points where you can operate?
Yes, typically. However, in this case, what the law will do is to say you don't have to go to the Public Service Commission. So there are no regulations. The local government oversees the noise ordinances. They oversee the land, the zoning ordinances, some of the stormwater control ordinances. So as these get built, local government's going to have a big responsibility. Additionally, the Maryland Department of Environment will permit the backup generators and the pollution coming from them. And so there'll be some control. It will not, their review is limited in scope. The Public Service Commission, they look at labor, they look at air pollution, they look at energy use, they look at justice.
Kim Coble of the Maryland League of Conservation Voters on the fight to offset carbon emissions from future data centers in the state. Healthcare access has been and remains a Democratic mantra even in Maryland. But state retirees are up in arms because they are being pushed out of the state's prescription benefits plan and into federal Medicare Part D coverage, which they say reduces what they get. Retired Port of Baltimore Commissioner Peter Richkus is at the front lines of the retiree pushback.
The wraparound coverage that state retirees enjoy includes a broader list of drugs or formulary than is offered by the plain Part D coverage. Without the state wraparound, if their doctor feels the need to prescribe another drug, they're going to pay for that full cost. The plan that we have as state retirees, a copay, the maximum would be $50 for a 3-month supply. In the Part D plan, without the wraparound, 25% to 50% of that is going to be borne by the retiree, and that's only covered drugs.
It is possible that if you're only paying a percentage, then it could be less than $50 for the drug. For instance, if it was a generic metformin, just to take one very common drug. It could be that for some drugs, it's going to be more than $50 that you pay now. And it could be that some drugs are less than $50. And their argument is that on balance, it works out.
Yes, that is their argument. There will be some percentage of state retirees who will pay less, but it will not be the majority. Even earlier estimates by the Department of Budget and Management indicate that it could be 80% of retirees who will be paying more.
The retirees proposed two bills to fix the problem, which were sponsored by Republican members in an overwhelmingly Democratic legislature. But Democratic Senator Clarence Lam, who is a physician himself, broke from his party over this.
There was actually a bill that was working its way through earlier this month where there was an amendment offered to restore those prescription drug benefits to those state retirees. And I was one of only two Democrats that voted for that amendment to restore their benefits. And so, unfortunately, it didn't pass, even though I supported it. And so, you know, I think we do need to support these state retirees. It's been a growing concern.
It's hard to know definitively, but it seems that the city of Tacoma Park in Montgomery County became the first local jurisdiction to pass a ceasefire resolution calling an end to the conflict between Israel and Palestine. But they were very careful to call it a bilateral ceasefire, which of course caused lots of public comment, as did the reference in the resolution to the Israel-Hamas war, not the Israel-Palestine war. Montgomery County Executive Mark Elrich has come out personally in favor of a ceasefire, but the county council and the county itself is deeply divided, and an official government position many local political leaders believe is likely to make things worse here at home while not helping change the minds of the Biden administration to take effective steps to bring the latest round of the war to an end. That's all for this episode. Be sure to tune in here at I Hate Politics this Friday for our big feature interview. I Hate Politics is produced by me, Sunil Dasgupta, and assistant producers Daniel Galeo, Katarina Gasek, and Catherine Amaya Escobar, with support from University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I direct UMBC's political science program at the universities at Shady Grove in Montgomery County, where, among other things, we explore and learn about politics, government, and society close to home. Music for this episode comes from Baltimore area jazz musician Seth Kaibel. The songs are from his album Clarinet Flicks and Chill. If you want to share your music on the show or know someone else who might want to, please email us at producer@ihppod.org. See you next time.